Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, there have been some recent outbreaks of meningitis at Princeton University, University of California in Santa Barbara, and parents are concerned and they don't know what to do and have their children had this vaccine. Is it safe? We're talking today with Dr. David Hill, Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Tell us about meningitis. What's going on out there today?
Right. So I think, first of all, we want to distinguish garden variety meningitis from meningococcal meningitis, and then we need to talk about the flavors or serotypes of meningococcal meningitis, because when we say meningitis overall, we're talking about anything that inflames the tissues around the brain. So the brain is covered in these layers of tissue called the meninges, and in between the meninges and the brain is fluid, the cerebrospinal fluid, and that fluid in those tissues can become infected. Now, the most common type of infection is viral, and those infections kind of pass on their own. There's not a lot to do about them. However, the most frightening kind of infection of the meninges, this meningitis and the cerebrospinal fluid, is caused by a very specific and nasty bacteria called meningococcus. And normally, in the United States, we vaccinate kids against garden variety pneumococcus, the types of strains that are normally present in the United States. So usually they have very little to fear from these bugs. However, what makes these two outbreaks, the one in Princeton and the one at University of California, Santa Barbara, different, is they're caused by one strain, serotype B, of meningococcus that is not contained in the standard meningococcal vaccines that we give most kids in the United States.
Okay, so the serotype B, that's not part of the vaccine. So you're saying, were both of them involving this particular meningococcal disease?
They both were. They were both serogroup, I said serotype, the word is serogroup B.
Okay, so meningitis. Is there a vaccine for that?
There is. It's used in other countries. And for children, or really teens, adolescents, at these two universities, the Centers for Disease Control has started a vaccination program involving that particular vaccine that covers the serogroup B.
And it's being used in other countries. What's going on here? Because I've heard that, you know, parents have questions about the safety of the vaccine. Is the Food and Drug Administration think that it's safe to get this vaccine? Are we going to be seeing it here?
I'm watching this with the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC website has got updates on that they're keeping up to date regularly. I don't think that we're going to see it beyond the sites of the outbreak. Right now, these outbreaks seem to be quite rare. There are not very many cases of the bee, so it does not look like we're going to be seeing a widespread national vaccine program. What they are looking at is an investigational drug application that would sort of allow this vaccine to go a little bit around the usual approval process and get approved for kids, teens, adults who may be at high risk for contact with this particular serogroup.
So if they are at high risk for this particular serogroup, Dr. Hill, then
right.
If they're recommended to get this vaccine, but they've already gotten their meningococcal vaccine when they were younger, can they have both? They need this one, too.
Yeah, there's no problem with getting both. There was a campaign in December, middle December in 2013 at Princeton, where more than 5,000 students there got the vaccine. There was another one held in February, where a similar number were vaccinated. And there's absolutely no problem with getting both vaccines. Not an issue to get over-vaccinated.
So what can they expect if they get vaccinated? Are there any side effects to this vaccine?
You know, with any vaccine, you worry about tenderness at the site. You worry about a little bit of fever. Some people don't feel great for a few days because it does cause an immune reaction. And, you know, you can feel a little icky when you're having an immune reaction. That said, I'm not aware of any risks attendant to the serogroup B vaccine that are specific to that vaccine. I haven't seen if there's anything to be concerned about with that vaccine, except that, you know, the FDA is looking at European testing and study as opposed to the sort of process that we use in this country to license vaccines.
Dr. Hill, why can't antibiotics be used instead of the vaccine? So if somebody already has the serogroup B,
right,
then they get treated at the hospital. I mean, this is a pretty serious disease.
Yeah, the death rates from a meningococcal infection are very high, the death and disability rates. This, and one of the reasons we vaccinate, like, why do we pick the diseases that we do to vaccinate against? We pick diseases that are hard to treat once you get them, right? We don't tend to vaccinate against things that go away on their own, like colds, as much as I would love to have a cold vaccine. We don't vaccinate against things that aren't particularly dangerous. We vaccinate against things that are very difficult to treat and that are very dangerous when you get them. Meningococcal infection certainly meets both those criteria. So, yes, you can treat it with antibiotics when you get it. The bad news is by the time somebody gets to the hospital with symptoms and gets their antibiotics, it is often very far gone and very challenging to treat without really significant sequelae. The people who do survive are still in for a heck of a ride during their hospitalization. It's often a really debilitating disease while you have it.
So what role do antibiotics play, and do you think the public would be more amenable in an outbreak situation to say, okay, everybody take an antibiotic, that way you're protected?
You know, it would be great if that would work, wouldn't it? And there are protocols. If you know that you've been closely exposed to somebody with meningococcus, you can get prophylactic antibiotics. But if you just, say, dump antibiotics in the water at UC Santa Barbara and say, okay, everybody's getting it, well, first of all, some people are going to be allergic to them. Some people are not going to get adequate dosing, and it's not going to work. And it's not as effective a treatment as the vaccine. Also, how long are you going to keep it in the water supply, right? If the outbreak lasts for weeks, are people going to stay on antibiotics for weeks and weeks? That's an awful idea. You're going to get problems if you put people on long-term antibiotics. So you can't say, well, this year you might get meningococcus, so this year you're going to take antibiotics every day. It wouldn't be very effective, and it would build ultimately resistance, and that is scary stuff.
Really scary. Now, we only have a minute and a half left, Dr. Hill, but you mentioned if you experience symptoms and by the time they get to the hospital, for parents listening who have kids at college and get worried about these kinds of things, what are the symptoms?
Right. So fever is a common symptom. Now, lots and lots of things cause fever. Headache is a common symptom, and lots of things cause headache. Lots of things cause fever and headache, like flu. A stiff neck is one of the very worrisome symptoms, and there are very few things that cause fever, headache, and stiff neck that don't deserve immediate attention from a doctor. So if somebody calls and says, man, I feel horrible, my neck, I don't want to move it, it hurts my head like crazy when I do it, I got a fever 101, and then you're really worried about meningitis. The other thing is pain when you look at the light. So if somebody's trying to keep all the lights off, doesn't want to go outside because it kills their head, you can get that with a migraine, certainly. But if somebody who's never had migraines says, oh, man, my head's killing me, I don't want to look at the light, I want to get that person seen immediately.
Great wrap-up of symptoms. So we're talking about the meningococcal vaccine and this outbreak that we've seen in serogroup B, you know, so you can keep a watch on the CDC website because they are always updating it about this. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD, and our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.